Take your Bibles and go to John chapter 17, Gospel of John. I want to talk to you this morning about truth. You know what truth is? I looked it up in the dictionary just to make sure. Actually, I did it two places because I don't trust the internet. I probably never will. And then I took out my big old encyclopedia, Webster's, and they basically it had the same definitions. I was shocked. I really was, because I've done that with other things, and it hasn't worked out so well. Truth is, according to the Webster's Dictionary, the truth is the truth or actual state of a matter. It's conformity with facts or reality. A verified and indisputable fact of a position, like mathematical facts. You know, 2 + 2 always equals 4. And that's truth in the world's eyes. Now, the world we live in is a little crazy these days, okay? But in the world's eyes, that's the definition. Jesus Christ had a different definition of what truth is. In John 17, and in verse 17, he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Literally, what you have in your hands is the truth throughout all ages. It's all, you know, this is it. And when you compare the truth that's here and you find that it's different in the world that we live in, one's the truth, the other one's a lie. Both can be believed. But we have always wanted, and most of us know, that God's word is his will, and we have the truth in our hands. And if we follow it, there's deliverance. There's blessings. In Ephesians chapter 6, great book of Ephesians chapter 6, when it comes to the armor that we are to put on, the first piece of armor here is to be girded with the truth. It says in verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, you stand. Stand, therefore, with your loins girded about with truth." The first thing is you got to put on the belt. Your loins. Your whole, you put on the truth. Without the truth, we have nothing. Without the word, we have nothing. If you're going to stand in this world against the powers of wickedness, then it is the truth, and the truth that is your first weapon, first part of your armor. And I can't overemphasize it. All I can do is repeat it. You know, the world that we live in is filled with lies. Okay? I don't have to get too crazy, too specific, but, you know, like, boys are boys, girls are girls. They're not interchangeable. But we do that, don't we? And you know what really disturbs me? What disturbs me is the 99% of us that really realize that basic biological truth. And it is truth. It's science. It's not disputable, right? You have people who are hurting. They're a little crazy in the head. They want to switch. All right? They want to switch identities, now we call it. You know, they identify as something else. Well, just because you have a few in our society that are not well balanced, everybody else has got to go along with it. Now, you want to tell me that this is common sense? The thing that disturbs me is that the 99% of us don't yell and say, come on, wake up. That's not right. See, Genesis teaches me the truth. Genesis 1. Maybe that's why it bothers me. Actually, it's in Genesis 1:27. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Male, female. Now, I believe that every American, no matter where they are in their head, all right, has got the same rights as every other American. What you don't have the right to do is tell the whole rest of the 99% of us that we're crazy or bigots or any other name you want to call us. That's, you don't have the right to do that. I believe you ought to have the same. If you want to be what you want to be, God bless you. You want to go to hell? You want? I mean, anybody's got the... I want you to believe whatever you want to believe. I want to give every individual the right to believe in the God and whatever words they want to believe. I want every individual to have the rights and the privileges that every other person has. But you can't require truth, science, fact, indisputable points to be changed. And like I said, the rest, the thing that bothers, it's not those people don't bother me. The people that bother me are the rest of us who just go along with this. That's the tragedy. I'm not against anybody, you know, but you can't just choose and then say, I am evil because you want to break biological fact. And yet people lose their jobs over it, right? I call this tyranny. Plain and simple. It's tyranny. There's no truth, basically, in this world. That's just one example. We could do a lot of them, right? I mean, it's really become fashionable to screw up the truth. It's fashionable. Let's see what truth we can screw up today. And I'm not talking about spiritual, I'm just talking about true things. It's fashionable. And the rest are just malaise, intimidated. Let's just appease these people so that we don't have to do anything. And that's the real shame, because the next generation is going to have to put up with it all. You know? Two men who identify as women won the Connecticut track and field thing last week. It was the girls' team. Now, men are about 30% more muscular, I think, than women. Don't look at me. But it's just a biological fact, right? And just because you changed your head doesn't mean your body changed. And they both ran away with these two boys that identify as girls. Ran away. So they literally, my granddaughter is going to grow up in this world where whatever she does ain't going to count. because somebody else can take it away. Because they just, I want to be a girl today. Just, and I don't get it. It's just not. It's crazy. It's reprobate. You know what reprobate means? This is reprobate thinking. And we're ruled by people who are reprobates. And you got to speak up. You got to stand up for the truth. And it may cost you, especially these days. God made men and women. God, He is the one who has given us this word. This word is truth. This word doesn't change. His promises don't change. His rules don't change. And you and I go to Romans 1, have to decide. And you got to do this kind of like all the time. But you have to decide. In verse 16, it says here, Romans 1, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You got to ask yourself, am I ashamed? Am I a coward that I won't speak up? Am I ashamed of what I believe? Do I really, well, maybe I believe the lies. You know, I'm not saying you got to go out and wear a sign walking down the street. But you got to. Reasons got to win. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. See, I could care less. I thought about this. So all the different things that I believe in Scripture. If everybody in the church walked out, I wouldn't bother. I mean, it would bother me personally. But I ain't going to change what I believe for nobody. Not if I can read it here. Not if I can read it here. Now, I don't go out of my way to bother anybody. But don't make me the bad guy because I believe the truth. I believe all men are one blood. I believe all men are equal. I really do. I know that all men do not act equally. They have their own freedom of will to do what they want. They choose to work hard, flourish in their abilities, and there are people who are just lazy. I go both ways. Depends on which day it is. You know, like after fellowship on Sunday, I let the other guy drive the race car and I just watch, you know, the couch. Other days I'm working my best, doing the best I can with what God has given me. That's normal, isn't it? That's truth. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. This gospel of Christ, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and is also for the Greek, the Gentile. It is this truth is the power of God. What He says is the power of the Lord. See, go to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus was very, very direct when He dealt with this, with the people around Him. In Matthew chapter 5, and Jesus was a very loving man, wasn't He? But He told it the way it was, because it was the truth. In 5:18, it says, For verily I say unto you, that until heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be done. Heaven and earth, when it comes to an end, I'm telling you, this word of God, every little comma, every little period, jot and tittle, is coming to pass. Every little thing. Heaven and earth won't even end until it all comes to pass. we get a new heaven and a new earth, remember? That's how accurate that is. This thing isn't coming to an end until, it doesn't matter what disaster movie you watch. They're all trying to kill us off. You ever notice that in those movies? They got the earth dying of something, someplace, and it's really incredible what stuff people think up. You know, the moon crashes into the earth, and then you got the earthquake busting the earth apart, and then you got the tornadoes, and we go to the ice. They're always killing us off. That's not what God says. You know what he says in his word? When you got the Armageddon, I was thinking about this. All of the scriptures that God says in his word, he'll never destroy the earth again by water. Right? So 2012 movie, it ain't going to, don't worry about it. All right? Because that one, the earth fell apart and it was all water again, right? And then how about the asteroid? It says, God sits on the circle of the earth. And he is a shield unto it. So, Bruce Willis, a good movie. I like the movie. It's not the truth. You know, nothing's going to happen to this planet until... Now, God's judgment has come a number of times, right? Nations, people, families, stuff like that. I'm not saying nothing bad's going to happen ever. I'm just saying there's a normal cycle of life here. It's not a peaceful place to live, the earth. You go out and walk in the woods, you can get eaten. That's why most of us don't live in the woods. All right? And if the animals don't get you, the bugs will. There's always something eating somebody out there. Now, I know that's a little silly, but just think about it. You want to go off for a nice walk in the woods, enjoy gentle breeze, and you get attacked by 3 million mosquitoes. What's fun about this? That's what I want to know. What's fun about this? When the kingdom comes, no more. Just a nice peaceful walk in the woods. What a joy. See, the truth is, the devil runs this place, right? He is the God of this world. You know, what was it? Danny said somebody at his job asked him, how come God allows all these crazy people? God's not in charge. None of that. He allows each and every person on the earth to choose the gospel or no gospel. He allows each and every one to work in themselves their own freedom of will. They choose what they do. Some choose evil. Some choose righteousness. Just like you. God doesn't make you do his word. You have to choose to renew your mind, right? He doesn't make you do it. He's given you everything he's ever going to give you with that spirit that he gave you. He sent his son, died for you. He's redeemed you. He's justified you. He's made you righteous. He has called you back to him. He's washed you in the blood of the Lamb. But he don't make you do his word. Never will. That's got to be by your own freedom of choice. You got to choose to gird yourself with the truth of his word. But every word is coming to pass. And you know who he said this in the midst of? The Pharisees. He says, if you don't, he says in verse 19, he says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, which the Pharisees were doing, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You do it like they do it, you ain't even going to make it. That wasn't very loving. Oh, yes, it was. See, calling out evil for what it is loving. Allowing people to be misled spiritually, any other which way, but I'm dealing with spiritually. Allowing people to be misled is disastrous for eternity. Do they have the right to believe what they do? Yes. But should we talk to them and try to teach them the truth? Yes. If they reject it, it's on them. And you move on to somebody else. But you keep trying to save. I mean, if we were all on the Titanic, right? You don't have to go to the Titanic. You can go to any boat that sank. Would you not try to help the one next to you? You may not be able to get the 500 off, but could you help the one? Or do you want to, you're just upset and you want to arrange the deck chairs because they're out of order? You know, I mean, don't get bogged down in this stupid. Save those that need saving. Speak the truth. Choose to be a child of light. You are the children of light. Speak the word. Speak the truth. Do it in love and then move on when somebody's made a decision. Don't catch an attitude. Just move on. Don't get hard-hearted. Don't get discouraged because so many people don't want. Don't allow yourself to get the, oh, I've been doing this for years and I only got one or two. That's worth the whole wealth of the world, according to Scripture. Just don't stop. Don't be ashamed. Don't allow yourself to be silenced. Don't start appeasing the world around you. See, go to Genesis chapter 8. You know, when God says something's going to happen, it happens. When he says it ain't going to change, it's not going to change. Genesis chapter 8, God makes a covenant. In verse 22. He says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now that's just simply like most of the verses that we just gloss over sometimes. You know, but if you ever watch the science channels, they challenge all of these things. You know, and I love the science. I'm not... You know, I like this stuff. You know, the North Pole is going to switch to the South Pole. South Pole is going to switch to the North Pole. You know, the Earth is going to end up a little more tilted. You'll have more summer, less winter. Ice age, lions and tigers and bears, cats and dogs living together. It'll be crazy. It's all insane. God says, while the earth remains, that means that there is a day, right? Remember the new heaven and earth. While it remains, all these things are going to keep going on. Period. Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33. This is the covenant God had made. In 33, it says, verse 20. Thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, that there should be not be day or night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne with the Levites and the priests, my ministers. He says to the people that don't believe in him, Jeremiah is speaking to a bunch of people God wants them to believe, but they don't. He says to them, if you can stop day and night, and because remember, in Genesis chapter 1, he said that's the way it would be. It's not changing. Seasons, times, stars, all the rest of it continue. He says, if you can stop that, folks, then you know that you can break my word concerning the coming Messiah, that he will sit on the throne of David. It can't be stopped. I don't care how much unbelief is out there, and they all stand on the beach and try to hold the sun down from coming up. It ain't going to work. God is going to have the sun come up every morning and the sun go down every evening on this spinning ball that we live on. And you can't change that. You can't change his promises concerning Christ's coming kingdom and him sitting on that throne. Not one word, not one promise. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to raise those that are his, and he is going to rule. And you and I are going to rule with him for 1,000 years. We got another job for, we got job security for 1,000 years. Okay? And after the 1,000 years, then you got go walk in the woods. You got the garden back, paradise like it was in Genesis 1. It's coming to pass. If I'm asleep, he's going to get me up. I'm going to know you and you're going to know me. I'm going to have the joy of being together with all those that I've ever loved. And I'm going to have the joy of meeting all these guys that I've read about for all these years. I can't wait to ask a few questions. But the problem is, I'll already know. You know, I'm looking forward to asking the question, but I'll already know when he gets me up. I'll know even as I am known. So I won't have to ask. We won't have to waste no time. We'll just enjoy. Have a cup of coffee. Enjoy. We have these sure, absolute truths. They're truths. They can't be changed. They're indisputable. Why? Because God said it. The Lord Jesus Christ confirmed it. It's coming to pass whether anybody likes it or not. It's going to happen. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 16, he's given us this word. All scripture is given by inspiration. All scripture is God breathed. Came out of his mouth. And it is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is how to do it rightly. How to believe rightly and how to live rightly. It's profitable for reproof. When you and I get off, when we go to the left or to the right, when our foot goes astray, he corrects us with his word. And you know, he always does it fairly gently. You know, a lot of times he does it with me, he shames me into, what's wrong with you? That's how he works with me. How he works with you is up to you. But it's reproof and correction. And you get back where you're supposed to be. And it's instruction for right living, righteousness. See, if you do his word, you're doing it right. You're living righteously. And his promises to the righteous are pretty outstanding. But before we go to some of those verses, let's go back to 2:15. One of the requirements is to study to show thyself approved unto God. You have to study. See, he gave us his word, and it's in this one book. And it is right in front of your face, but you got to choose to read it. You want to read the mystery novel instead of this? This is much bigger. Bigger mystery. But I understand. Entertainment is entertainment, but this is study. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman. He expects you to work. You want to know him? You know, Ephesians, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. The only way you find that out is here. To know that kind of love, to know that, have that kind of experiential understanding is to study his word. He'll lead you, he'll show you, he'll open your eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. You study that you need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He doesn't say that you need to get it perfect every time. I've changed what I have believed over all these many years. Because my understanding has changed. My understanding, my knowledge, my whatever, has gotten deeper and richer over time. God blessed me when I first learned. And he did great and wonderful things to confirm that I was on the right path. And he blessed me as I changed. And he's blessed me so much today. He has never said, you don't know enough. When all I knew was Jesus died for me and God got him up from the dead, and I didn't know much else of anything else, I had joy. When I didn't know there was a spirit to manifest, I had joy. When I found out that there was a spirit to manifest and manifest, I had joy. He never said, come on. Smarten up, will you? Why are you so stupid? That's what my father said to me. God never said that. Every step of the way, he's encouraged me, blessed, walked with me, talked with me, helped me. Shown me wonderful things. Because I tried. He never, ever will yell at you or knock you down because you don't know enough. I got brothers and sisters in Christ who are at a third grade level in their spiritual walk with God. I have brothers and sisters in Christ who have graduated and got their doctorate. And God deals with them all. And he is blessed with them all. As long as they are workmen. At the level that they're at. Sure, it says it again. Study to show thyself approved unto God as a workman that needs not be ashamed, of the workmanship, rightly dividing the word of truth. Doesn't matter where you start from or where you're at the moment. You just still be a workman. You're not done. Just because you're X number of years old, you're not done. It's a huge mistake. Take the foundational class over again and see how much you've forgotten. You know, I encourage you. Richie was talking about doing that in his fellowship. I encourage you to talk to you. He'll show you where to find it. Take the thing over again. Take all the classes that you've asked God to show you something different. Start studying it for yourself. Call up somebody and say, hey, do you ever think about this stuff in the Bible and talk about it back and forth? Get a different idea. You get stuck? Ask somebody who might know. That's why we got each other. That's why I'm around. But I don't want to stay too much on that. Study. And go back to Ephesians 3. I'll show you that verse. Because the reason that you want is because you want to know him. Ephesians 3. See, I didn't die for you. You have to listen to me. I'm just here to encourage you, to make the Bible as plain as I can possibly make it to you. Because that's what a teacher's job is, to take that which is in the Scripture and make it as plain as possible to others, so that everyone gets a benefit. If you wanted an intellectual guy, you should have went to a different church. But it's not intellectualism that counts. It's understanding, because the whole point is to know him. To come to that, Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. It says to know. The word know here is experientially know. To know the love of Christ. You pray, you ask, you study, so that you can come to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. To be filled with everything that he can possibly give. What a beautiful thought. And you know what? I got a good ways to go. The more I've learned, the more I understand that I don't know. But I really have been so blessed and thankful that God has shown me what he has shown me over the years. So very blessed. And I don't know how to quantify it, but I know it's immense. And for him to give it to me is just, it's beautiful. I'm his child. You're his child. Like I said, he's got no favorites. The condition is that we study. It's conditional promise. Study. It's a command. So, you want to know him like this? You want to be filled with all the fullness of God? Then seek him. Seek his word. Pray, study, do his thing. Do those things. You'll not be disappointed. See, God wants us to walk in his ways. Walk like our Lord walked. You know, go to Joshua chapter 1. If we put on the word, we stand on the truth. This is what God promised this man, Joshua. And I want to tell you something. He wouldn't do less for you today. He says to him in chapter 1, verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, every place that Joshua walks, it's yours. Wouldn't that be something, huh? He says, from this wilderness of Lebanon, even unto the great river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, it shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, and God will not fail you, and he will not forsake you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. Suck it up. Believe it. Receive it. Walk out of this room today knowing it. And, you know, like, hey, this is the way it is. See, this is the truth. Every word is coming to pass. Every jot and tittle. Nothing can stop. When God said in verse 3 of chapter 1 of Genesis, let there be light. There was. That turned me on probably more than any other verse when I first got in the Word. I learned that the Word of God is His will. And then I realized when He spoke, He didn't do nothing. He didn't wave nothing. He didn't smack his hands together. He spoke, let there be light. Boom, there was. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. I will always be there for you. I love you. I forgive you. You get to own these words. You got to own them. He sent his word to heal you. He sent his word to heal you and to deliver you from all your destruction. So, go back to verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according. See, this is the condition. You got to be strong and very courageous to observe to do according to all the law, the word, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper whithersoever thou goest. This is the requirement, that you observe to do, that you believe what he says, that you act upon it, that you walk like Christ, that you do because you believe it. See, when you walk into the room, do you own it? It's, you know, kind of the way I say it. Are you entering into this room like a significant individual that's got great things to give? Because you've got Christ in you. See, John McCabe just don't enter into the room. I got Christ in me. If I walk by that Spirit, that the words I touch people with, the love that I share, the things that are brought to pass, the service that I give, it's as if Christ did it. Christ wasn't a slob. He wasn't just a bump on the log. He wasn't just insignificant. So you're not. You are here in his stead. That's the truth. That's the truth. Any other thought you have of yourself when you enter into a room? That's a lie. And all the lies come from the devil. And it's a spiritual battle. You follow? You got to smack yourself in the head when it comes to this kind of stuff. I do all the time. Because every one of us drifts. Every one of us, I got to be reminded every time. How many times have you heard, I will never leave thee or forsake thee in a manifestation that I love thee? Why do you think he repeats himself so often? Because you and I won't glue it down in our head. That's why. He'll be able to tell you something else if you glue that one down. But there's no point in going any further. He says to him, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. This is verse 8. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. For then, conditional, then thou shalt have, make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Could Joshua be dismayed? Could he have been discouraged? You better believe it. How would you like to hang out with these people and fight for this kind of war? I mean, this wasn't an impersonal war. This was swords and shields. Oh, God, we have another battle today. Oh, joy. No, I don't think so. That's not how wars go, generally. They go from very boring days to very extreme days of terror and just unspeakable tragedy. Not just because you're on the right side, just because you win, just because you go, doesn't mean that you don't have to go through the battle. Or see the blood and the guts. And I think we forget this. We just read these words and we don't think about it. Day after day, year after year, plan after plan, camp after camp, sharpening your sword after sharpening your sword, sticking it in somebody else's body with every time it comes up. But God's got the plan. You just got to go through the day, the battle, the war, until he gives you peace. There's a rest coming to you and I. It's in that day when our Lord comes back. Until then, you got the day-to-day grind. You got occasional battles. You got some scary times in there. You got some I don't feel so good moments. You just stay faithful. God has got it covered. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Just do your job, just like a good soldier. I can't do half the teaching. So, we are to walk by faith. Let's go, I'll skip a whole bunch. 2 Corinthians. I always do that when it comes to doing these teachings. I sit there at night and I think all these verses and I write them all down. There's just no way you can do them all. 2 Corinthians. You and I, we have to live by faith. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it is, in verse 7, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Think about the Apostle Paul. Think about Peter. Think about the believers in the book of Acts. And compare their lives to yours on a day-to-day basis. They didn't have washing machines, stuff like that, right? So they didn't have cars, they had to walk. But, I mean, think about their lives in the totality of them. They were being persecuted in the first century. If you believed, if you were there now, we took you and put you there now, you would be looking over your shoulder because there's somebody out there who really wants to get you and to grab you and to throw you in prison and, if possible, to execute you. And each day you wake up, you look back and forth, and you proceed with caution. And yet at the same time, you're bold in the Lord to speak the word. But you're walking with caution. And you're asking God, "Can I talk to this one? And can you give me an opportunity to be alone?" And you're asking God to go through it all because your life really is in jeopardy. We got it very easy. I don't know if my children and my grandchildren will have it easy. Right now, you and I got it really easy. Speak the truth. Tell others. If it's not politically correct, take the heat. It's not that much heat. Not yet. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Actually, we're closer to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. In verse 4, it says, "Wherefore you were buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." That's what he wants us to do. You've been bought with a price. You've got everything. God's given you everything he's going to give you. You're completely, absolutely complete in him. You have to choose to walk. You have to choose to have a little courage. You have to choose to take the truth and gird it around your loins. Put it on and don't let it loose. Don't allow someone to talk you out of it. Don't allow yourself to talk you out of it. You are his. You're his child. You got his power. You got his love. You can do what he says you can do. That's what I wanted to share with you today.